Good to see you. Welcome in. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. That's where we're going to be. We've got a lot of ground to cover. I got a lot of slides, but shout out to the booth, Brian. Zero mistakes, first service, so good for him. Running slides. Travis had to fix my microphone thing. Apparently, it's pointing up in the air the entire time, first service, so it's a mess up here. So pray for those guys working with us, you know? They're doing great work, and we have a lot of ground to cover in this new series, Flourishing in the Kingdom. The things we need to do. And I'm going to read Matthew 13. I'm going to read verses 10 to 17. But let me set out kind of what we want to do as we kind of kick off the series, introduce it. I have a goal, and the goal is this, to explain flourishing. Man, I don't know about you, but we probably all disagree on what flourishing looks like, right? So what is the way to that goal of flourishing? Well, we stand in awe of God's word around here. And we want to see, what does the Bible say about flourishing? And here's what the Bible says. You want to flourish, it's in the kingdom. And you're like, I didn't know there was a kingdom. There's a kingdom. We'll get to that. So the goal of flourishing, the way to that goal is the kingdom. And the language, I'm thinking of it like this. The language of the lessons of the kingdom, like the way you know about the kingdom in the Bible, is parables. So we gotta look at parables and what are parables. And you're like, good, we're going to do a parable. We're not. We're going to talk about parables, like what they are. Because from here on out, when you come in, we'll be talking about parables. And hopefully when you come next week and Pastor Brent talks about a parable, you'll be like, Fry told us all about parables. We know what they are. Good. Today we want to lay the groundwork for that. What are the parables? And how do they show us the way to the goal of flourishing, which is the kingdom? And Jesus explains that today in Matthew chapter 13. It's on the screen. Hopefully you have your Bible because you're going to need it. 10 to 17, Matthew 13, 10. Then the disciples came up and asked him. Let me stop there. Would that be awesome? Walk and talk with Jesus and just ask him questions. I would wear Jesus out, wouldn't you? He's God. It's a different culture though. But how awesome for them. They came up to Jesus and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus has just spoken a parable. He answered, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables. Because looking, they do not see. Hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back. And I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see the things you see, but didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. God's perfect word to us. And again, we stand in awe of it. So the goal of flourishing, the way to that goal is the kingdom, and the language of the lessons of the kingdom are parables. So the disciples asked Jesus in verse 10, what? Why do you speak to the people in parables? Verse 11, Jesus says, because they're secrets. Jesus has secrets. Those secrets are the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So he's going to tell them those secrets. So there's a kingdom. There's a kingdom. I used to have a friend from the Middle East, and he lived in a country that was a kingdom. And I was like, that's the craziest thing. Like, he had a picture of his king on the wall from his country. And he'd be like, I met the king. And I'd be like, I never met the president, but I don't really care. Like, you know, but for him, it was a big deal. Like, he met the king. And it was different culturally because we don't think in terms of kingdom. The Chiefs kingdom. Okay, 8 o'clock, no Chiefs fans either. That was your chance, Chiefs fan. Forget it. It's over. All right, we're moving on. There's one more chance at 11 o'clock. The Chiefs have a kingdom, if you didn't know that, right? And I love that concept. I'm not just a fan. I am hashtag in the kingdom, right? So good job failing, Chiefs fans in 9:30 service. Jesus calls it the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the secrets are in the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is used 32 times in the book of Matthew. In the other gospels, Matthew, we're in Mark, Luke, John, right? The other gospels is kingdom of God. One writer tells us Matthew probably used kingdom of heaven because his readers were primarily Jewish. And for them to speak the name of Yahweh, Jehovah, irreverent. And so they'd often substitute heaven. Like they would say, heaven smiled down on me today. It's helpful to know. However, the writer goes on to say, there's no significant difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The one phrase emphasizes the sovereign ruler of the kingdom of God. The other phrase emphasizes the kingdom itself, kingdom of heaven. Same thing. You don't believe me. Read Matthew 19, 23, and 24, because there they are both used interchangeably. We don't have that on the screen, but you can check that out. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Same thing. There's a kingdom, and there are secrets in the kingdom. Better word is mysteries. Maybe your Bible has mysteries. You have the right Bible. Not really, but it's a better translation of that word. Again, theologians help us as they take this apart. What Jesus is doing here is he's explaining how current events develop old promises. We saw that in the book of Hebrews. If you've been here the last couple months, we've been in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is a book that shows us promises from the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament, right? Well, the secrets of the kingdom, that's the same kind of thing. Jesus' ministry is linked. The events of his ministry is linked to the old promises in the Old Testament. Another commentator says this, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are explained in the partial and preliminary manifestations in Jesus' day as it's breaking into the world. Old Testament said, the kingdom's coming, the kingdom's coming. Jesus comes like the king, Jesus is here, the kingdom's here and still coming. And someday the kingdom will come completely. It's big, big kingdom. And these are mysteries that are being unfolded in the kingdom. I like what another scholar said. He said, the reason we think of it as mysteries is because a secret can be uncovered, but a mystery must be discovered. Isn't that good? Like you're like, Fry, tell me a secret. Shh, I tell you the secret. You know the secret. Mystery's different. Like I might have to break some things down to explain a mystery to you. Let me show you this in the Bible. This is 1 Corinthians 15. There's our word. Listen, I'm telling you a secret. No, I'm telling you a mystery. Same word, by the way, that we're using in Matthew. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. If I said that was a secret, you'd be like, Fry, there's a lot more to that than just a secret. Like it's mysterious. There's things you'd like to know about. What do you mean fall asleep? What do you mean we'll all be changed? And when's this at, right? It's a mystery. And so Jesus says, there's a kingdom and it's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, there are mysteries. Man, it's important. Secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom are worth pursuing. So Jesus said this, we used to sing a song to this in the King James and I'm not gonna sing it, but seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things will be provided for you. So here's what I want us to know today and moving forward in this series. What does it mean to flourish according to the Bible? It means this, pursue kingdom priorities in the everyday realities of life, all right? If you want kind of the low-hanging fruit of what Jesus is saying here, that's it. Pursue kingdom priorities in everyday realities of life. And you're like, that sounds spiritual. It is. You're like, that sounds like something you'd say in church. It is, but it's also practical. It shouldn't just be spiritual. Kingdom of God, whoo, big, spiritual. Yes, also practical. Pursuing kingdom priorities in the everyday realities of life means everyday realities of life. What do I mean by that? Well, your relationships, your job, your identity, things that make you go. The stuff of life. Man, kingdom priorities should invade those things. If you know and follow Jesus, they're not transcended, they're transformed. The kingdom of God is not bigger than who you are, practically speaking. Everyday realities of life. It's not just above those things. It invades and transforms those things, or it should if we know and follow Jesus. Theologian Jeremy Treat wrote a book called Seek First, great little book on the kingdom. I'm gonna take some stuff from him. He says this, priority of the kingdom doesn't minimalize the practical realities of daily life. It puts them in perspective. The kingdom is the thing that changes everything, including your identity, your relationships, your work, your purpose in life. On and on he goes. He says it helps connect the dots of the Christian life. Check this out. He defines the kingdom of God like this. The kingdom of God, and I can get this to you if you're not fast with your phone or you don't have a photographic memory, whatever. Kingdom of God is God's reign through God's people over God's place. That's a great definition of the kingdom of God, isn't it? So what does that look like in the everyday realities of life? Well, notice the kind of things he says here. So what difference does that make? Well, it means we have a coherent story to our lives. Like every day when I go out into the world, the lens of the kingdom of God gives me coherence like it doesn't give people who don't know the kingdom. I have this coherence. The Bible's the story of the, I mean, how are you doing with these things, right? I'm asking myself. The Bible's the story of the kingdom of God gives me coherence. Jesus, he's the one, he's the king. He brought the kingdom. through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so Jesus is the king. Life is infused with meaning because the kingdom offers a comprehensive perspective. That's who you are in Christ. If you're in the kingdom, you have a comprehensive perspective on the world. Discipleship is about following the king and the mission of bringing the kingdom. We have a job to do, and it's clear. The church is the community of the king. That's why we're in the church. It's a glimpse of life under God's reign. Someday in heaven, we're going to be in a church that's a lot better than this, much more perfect. And so we're kind of living that now. Justice characterizes the kingdom. So you know what? You should care about racism. That is bad, and fight it, and poverty, and all the things that are broken in the world. Christians should be on the front lines like, that's wrong. That's not the kingdom. So we're bringing the kingdom, even though the world's still broken. In Christ, we're sons and daughters of the king. You're like, I don't know who I am. You do in the kingdom. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You got your identity. And we got it because of the grace of Jesus. Our citizenship in the kingdom determines and shapes our citizenship on earth. Watch out. Your citizenship as a Christian informs your citizenship as an American. I went there. Not the other way around. Some of you are like, my citizenship as an American determines who I am as a Christian. Not in the Bible. Because I'm in the kingdom as a citizen, that informs my citizenship to any nation. Big, this kingdom, man. Last thing there, I'm living between, and this is a very common theological concept, living in the already and the not yet, right? They make a great t-shirt. Living in the already and the not yet, because is the kingdom here? Yeah. But is the kingdom completely here? No, someday Jesus is going to wipe away every tear. He's going to make, broken world, you get up this morning and read something bad? I did. Every day you can. Weather, murder, broken things, right? Why? Because the kingdom has not yet come. But you know what? In some ways the kingdom has come. When we fight for the things that God fights for in the kingdom, heaven on earth, let's make it happen. And Jesus come because the world's broken. You get it? It's big. It's big, this kingdom. And those secrets of the kingdom are worth pursuing, and flourishing is pursuing those kingdom priorities in the everyday realities of life. So this sets the stage when Jesus' disciples say, so why do you speak about the kingdom in parables? Well, again, the lessons of the kingdom, Jesus taught them in the language of parables. And some of you are like, I know parables. Some of you don't. Craig Blomberg, great scholar, probably one of the leading scholars on parables, has written a lot of books on it. He says, this is how he defines a parable. A short metaphorical narrative. That's what we think of, many of us, when we think of parables. However, only half of the stories in the New Testament that Jesus teaches are typically termed a parable. And they have that label attached. So when the disciples were saying, why do you talk to them in parables? They were thinking more than what we think of commonly of a parable, a metaphorical narrative. They were thinking even bigger than that, Blomberg tells us. And Jesus, when he used parables, he used narrative parables, metaphorical narrative stories. Sunday school definition of a parable. Many of us heard this. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You ever heard that? Like, isn't that, now I get it, right? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what many of the parables that Jesus told, those narrative stories, that's what they were. Earthly stories with heavenly meaning. We find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But guess how many there are in John? None. There's no narrative stories from Jesus in the book of John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, yes, they're there. So these are the stories Jesus used to talk about kingdom priorities, narrative parables. One writer says parables can also mean a proverb, a story, an extended metaphor, a riddle, an enigmatic statement. So what the disciples have in mind when they say parables is bigger than just here's a parable. And as we get into the series over the course of the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear from parables. You're like, I didn't know that was a parable. It's because it doesn't necessarily fit the metaphorical narrative story that Jesus tells. You with me? I know it's a lot, but there we are to parables, all right? They are the language of the lesson of the kingdom, which is the key to flourishing, friends. Kingdom priorities and everyday realities of life. So Jesus summarizes his statement. Jump ahead with me in the Bible. These aren't on the screen. 34:35 of chapter 13. Because Jesus is saying this in between telling parables. Isn't it interesting? 34 says this. So Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. And he did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's an interesting verse. But Jesus says, lessons of the language, the lesson of the kingdom is the language of parables. Now, when we talk about the kingdom in the parables, we want to go back to verses 10 through 17. There are some important contours to the parables, all right? So again, this is setting you up as we go into the series, and every week you're going to come in and we're going to be using parables. And you're like, oh, I remember from week one. What are some contours of the parables? Let me give you three. We're doing good, all right? The first one is this. With the parables come a warning and a welcome. Okay, that's number one. With the parables comes a warning and a welcome. You'll see that as we go through this series. Jesus said in verse 10, then the disciples came and asked him, why are you speaking in parables? He answered, well, look at the contrast here as I read. Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but, contrast, it has not been given to them. Whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But, see the contrast in 12? Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. In the parables, there's a warning and a welcome. Jesus says to his followers, it'll be given to you to know, but it will not be given to them. He says, whoever has, more will be given. Whoever does not have, what he has will even be taken away. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about those who he welcomed in to the secrets of the kingdom because they're like, I want to know. But he said, you know what? To those who reject, those who harden their heart, he uses that language. We use that language in Hebrews. Man, God wants to take out a heart of flesh and put in a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. And many of these religious leaders in Jesus' day, they were hypocritical. They didn't believe. And Jesus says, the parables are not for, the mysteries are not for them because they reject. And you know what? It's not so much that they didn't know what he was saying. It's interesting. They knew exactly what he was saying. There's a funny story. The end of Matthew, you can look this up later. Matthew 21, 45, Jesus tells a parable and the Pharisees are there, the people he's kind of speaking against. And it says this, they knew he was speaking to them. Like, you ever have that in your marriage? Like, you know, you do something wrong, your wife says, let me tell you a parable. And you're like, oh, that parable's really about me, right? I messed up, right? We don't do that. But the Pharisees, they didn't miss it, right? It wasn't, listen, when he says some are warned, it's not that they're like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about. They knew what he's talking about. And they're like, oh, you're pointing your finger at us. That wasn't the problem. Here was the problem with the warning. It wasn't that they didn't know what Jesus was saying. It's this. Friends, they said, we don't accept who you are. That was the problem. You want to know why those who don't have, nothing else will be given? Why there's a warning to those who reject? Because their rejection is not necessarily what Jesus was saying in that day. It was, I don't even believe who you are. And that's a big problem. There's a warning. There's a warning to them. This is John 6. We studied this text Good Friday. This is religious leaders. What was Jesus saying in John 6? I am the bread of life. Remember that? They said, wait a second. You're Joseph's boy. You're Mary's boy. We know your parents. You're not so great. How can you say you've come down from heaven? See what they're doing there? It's like, Jesus is like, I'm the bread of life. They're like, whatever, man. You're Joseph's kid. Back off. See, their problem was rejection. Jesus said, I'm done. Undone to those who reject the mysteries of the kingdom. It won't be given to them. I'm warning you, Jesus says. But if you want to know, I welcome you. There's in the parables, as Jesus unfolds the mystery of the kingdom, there's warning and there's welcome. Let me show you welcome real quick. This is Peter, follower of Jesus, right? Jesus welcomes him, but Peter's not perfect. Look, this is the same chapter. You talk about problems, Peter, man. Jesus is like, who do people say I am? Look at this answer. This is a good answer, by the way. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You think Peter's feeling pretty good? Like, I got it. Welcome. Kingdom truth. Stay tuned. A couple verses later, Jesus is like, I'm going to suffer and die. Peter's like, took him aside. He's like, oh no, Lord, that will never happen to you. Look at this turn of events, 24 or 23. Jesus turned and told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wow. He says, you're a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns. So Peter, like, he didn't get it completely. He's like, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus is like, you're right. God gave you that answer. A couple of verses later, Peter's like, oh, you're not going to die, though. Jesus is like, you're wrong. You're Satan. Not you're Satan, but get behind me, Satan, because you're wrong. But you know what? In Peter's heart was a tenderness to say, okay, then tell me more. Not, I reject you. I don't believe who you are. Where do you want to be, friend? You want to be on the warning side of that or the welcome side of that? We don't want to be on the warning side. Don't reject. Jesus says, I'm warning you. A lot of writers describe it like this. Parables They work by concealing and revealing, okay? They conceal and they reveal. I've been up to the new building a couple times. Been through it with some of you, and we're doing some tours. That's upcoming. If you're in a ministry and your team that serves, you're gonna go through, and maybe you're not, just sign up for that. Be like, yeah, I serve. I just wanna see the building, whatever. Don't do that unless you really wanna see it. You can. So, but you go through there right now, and guess what? There's a lot of stuff revealed. And like I've gone through some of you who are in a trade, some of you guys in trades like electricians, plumbers, and I'm walking through, I'm a preacher, man. I pray, that's what I do. Like I go through and you're like, oh, they used a T81 sleeve there on that pipe. That's good work. I have no idea what you're talking about, man. Like it's behind a wall and in a couple weeks it's gonna be drywall and it's gonna be painted. I don't even care about that pipe. I don't know what you're talking about, right? Why? Because it's being built. And right now everything is revealed. But here's the thing about that building, in a couple weeks, things are gonna start to be concealed. But listen, behind those walls are the mysteries of how that building works, right? And how that building goes. And those mysteries are important, and it's how the building flourishes. Well, friends, listen, here's a great thing. I don't have to worry about any of those things, right? Like I'm not quite, they're not gonna say, Fry, go check the electrical panel. They're not gonna say that. Aren't you glad? Like flip this, I think. No, because I don't understand it. But we need those things to make the build. We need panels behind doors and walls and things people can get to, the mysteries of how that building flourishes. Here's the thing, friend. In the parables, there are the mysteries of how life works. And guess what? We do want those things revealed to us. We don't want to keep those concealed. And Jesus says, if you harden your heart toward me, I'm warning you. Don't do it. I want to welcome you with the secrets of the kingdom. In the parable, there are the mysteries of how life works, how we flourish pursuing kingdom priorities and everyday realities. So parables conceal and they reveal. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you hungry for the kingdom? Welcome. Are you hard-hearted? Warning. So warning, welcome. Second thing just kind of builds on, it's this, unresponsive and understanding. I'm not gonna reread the text because of time, but you'll see the word understand there a couple times. End of 13, hearing they don't understand. I said I wasn't gonna read, but I am. Middle of 15, they hear with their ears and they understand with their heart and turn back if they would change. So understanding's there, but Jesus says there's two sides of this. Some of you, you understand. Some of you, you are unresponsive. Man, when they put the shocks on your chest, boop, just flatline. No one's responding. So which is it? Because those are two contours of the parables as Jesus gives us the truth of the kingdom. The kingdom priorities and everyday realities. You see there, Jesus quotes, and some of your Bible is gonna be bold print. This is a quote of a prophecy from Isaiah. Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. And what did Isaiah see there? If you go back and read that, you'll see Isaiah was with the people and he's prophesying. He's like, I've had it with these people. They don't wanna follow you. And so he articulates that they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. They look and look and they don't see. They don't care, enough of it. And Jesus pulls that prophecy forward and says, it's the same way now. You're unresponsive. And I'm warning you, that's a problem. Jesus, he wants us to hear and he wants our heart. And didn't we see that in Hebrews 2? Jesus, he wants us to hear, open our ears, and he wants our heart. So friends, where are you at? Unresponsive, understanding. This is long, but I think this is important. I love how this is the end of the book of Acts. Paul's doing a seminar. How many of you would go to a seminar by the apostle, like a seminar by Matt Fry, seminar by the apostle Paul? Which one are you going to? Me too. He's doing a seminar. Look at this. After arranging a day with him, many came to him at his lodging. This is warning and welcome in the kingdom. Look at this. From dawn to dusk, he expounded and testified about the kingdom of God. I would love to have that workbook, wouldn't you? He expounded and testified about the kingdom of God, what we're talking about. Kingdom priorities, everyday realities. He's talking to Jewish people who are like, we don't know about Jesus. He tried to persuade them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Some were persuaded by what he said. What do we say to them? Welcome. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome in. There's more revealed. Some were persuaded by what he said, but others what? They didn't believe. I'm warning you. Why didn't they believe? Notice, they didn't believe because he told them the same thing that Jesus told the people in Matthew 13. Look, disagreeing among themselves, they began to leave. Like, they're leaving in the middle of the seminar. How embarrassing. They began to leave after Paul made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah. This is the quote we have from Jesus. When he said, go to these people and say you will always be listening but never understanding. This is right out of Matthew 13. You will always be looking but never perceiving. For the hearts of these people has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing. They shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you, this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. At this point, Paul says, I've had it. God's had it. Jesus had it. You're unresponsive. And you know what? This kingdom is bigger than the Jews. It's going worldwide. Mic drop. I'm out of here. Seminar's over. Because dealing with people whose heart, some believed, and he's like, welcome to the kingdom. Understanding. Some, they were unresponsive. They were unresponsive. John 8:45 says this quickly. This is Jesus. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. How about that? How about that statement? One commentator says this about that verse. The reason they don't believe is because Jesus is speaking truth. Sometimes the reason, listen, get a hold of this. Sometimes the very reason people don't believe is because, well, that's the truth. Well, no, I don't want, it's not the truth. It's because we tell the truth that some people don't believe. Because we tell, it said, that verse says, because Jesus was telling them the truth, they didn't believe. It's like, here's the truth. Nope, don't believe that because it's the truth. There are sometimes when the truth itself damns, hardens, blinds, makes ears deaf because there's already this guilty, God-forsaking, unbelieving, self-focused hatred of all things other than me first. That's true. That's true. We live in a world that's unresponsive. How many of you face people at your work, you're like, they don't like God. They say things I totally disagree with. They talk about lies, and I'm like, that's not true. And they're like, nah, I don't believe. Jesus said, expect that. The very fact that we are telling them the truth makes them not believe. That's what the book says. There's an unresponsiveness, not an understanding. 1 John 3:13, John says, don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, the world hates you. Awesome, sign me up. Woo! Right? Put that on your t-shirt. That's what Jesus said. He's like, don't be surprised when you walk into your workplace and the values that you hold and the sexual ethic that you have and you think abortion is wrong and you pick your issue that you believe on the word of God and people are like, well, that's not true. And you're like, it is true. It's the kingdom. That's where you flourish if you believe. And people are like, no, I don't believe it. Friends, God of the Bible says, expect that. I don't know if that helps or hurts, but that's what Jesus said. There is going to be an unresponsiveness to kingdom priorities. Flourish means pursue kingdom priorities in the everyday realities of life. There's a welcome and a warning. Parables reveal and conceal. So listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus, be a truth seeker. Seek the truth. If you don't know Jesus and you're here in kingdom for the first time and he's inviting you into that kingdom, seek the truth. Seek the truth of God's word. Trust what God has to say. Brothers and sisters of Keystone, there are those who will understand and there are those who will be unresponsive. But if you know and follow Jesus, be a truth speaker. So there's a lesson there for most of us in here. Some of us, we need to be truth seekers. Some of you don't know the truth. You're believing a lie. On the authority of God's word, he's given us the truth. And the truth is the kingdom priorities. So be a truth seeker, but Keystone brothers and sisters, don't give up the fight. Jesus said, you're gonna be hated, expect it. So speak truth, be bold. Because of the truth, they do not believe, Jesus says. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Don't beat people over the head, but tell them the truth. Kingdom priorities and everyday realities of life. Last thing is this, there's a past and there's privilege. 16 turns positive here. Blessed are your eyes. He's talking to his followers. See this? Blessed are your eyes because they do see and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets, righteous people long to see the things you see, but they didn't see them. They long to hear the things you hear, but they didn't hear them. Friends, the prophets looked forward to Jesus, but they didn't know. They weren't sure what it was. Someone's come and they knew it was big, but they didn't know. What a privilege we have. Remember this in Hebrews, this is chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors, Isaiah, all those prophets, different times, different ways, but they're like, something's coming, we don't know. We love to know. In these days, God has spoken us by who? His Son. We got it. What a privilege. We have Jesus. They looked ahead to Jesus. We look at Jesus. We have him. We know the truth of the Son of God and the Word of God. It makes all the difference. God has appointed him heir of all things. He's the King. He made the universe through him. That's his kingdom. The past, and there's a privilege. So, minute left. Believe and receive the good news of the kingdom. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, that's the way into the kingdom. Check this out. There's good news to bring the kingdom. Matthew says, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know what the good news of the kingdom is? It's the gospel. It's the King. It's Jesus. And Jesus Christ, as we celebrated last week, came down and he died on that cross as the perfect Son of God for your sin and for my sin. And friends, that is good news. It's done. It's not good advice. I'll give you good advice all day. It may or may not help you. I'm giving you good news in the kingdom. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. And you want in the kingdom? That's where it starts. Believe and receive Jesus Christ. Confess your sin to him and say, Jesus, I want to turn my life over to you. I transfer my trust. I want to be in the kingdom, not the chief's kingdom. I mean the kingdom. Believe, receive the good news of the kingdom. Keystone brothers and sisters, I'm coming at us here. Don't settle for lesser kingdoms. Look at John 18. My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus. This is Jesus talking to Pilate before he dies. Jesus is like, we're not settling for a lesser. My kingdom's not of this world, said Jesus. My kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. How many angels could Jesus have to help him win the battle at the cross? A lot. He's got a couple million. I don't know. I'm guessing. A lot. Jesus says, if I wanted to, I could turn this to Pilate. He says, I could just stop all this right now. That's not my kingdom. I could fight. My servants, Peter had a sword, cut off a dude's ear. Remember that story? Jesus is like, I got a lot of guys with swords. They can take this place over. We're not doing it. Jesus says, my servants would fight if I wanted them to. I wouldn't be handed over to anybody if I didn't give up the right. But as it is, he says what? My kingdom is not from here. So Keystone friends, in the words of Jesus, what's your kingdom? Because I said, some of us, we don't think about kingdom, but some of us, we know exactly what a kingdom is. I'm building the kingdom of my beautiful home and my beautiful family and my awesome job and all the things I have. And I can't wait till I, and when this happens and when I get, I'm right there with you in all of that. And it's a small K kingdom that Matt Fry is building. And God says, that's not where it's at. You settle. So Keystone brothers and sisters, that's some hard truth as we go through these lessons from the parables. Where's our kingdom? Don't settle for a lesser kingdom. May God help us with that. Pursue kingdom priorities in the everyday realities of life. Flourishing is the goal. The kingdom is the way. And the parables are the language of the lesson of the kingdom. Seek truth. Speak truth. Flourish in the kingdom. Let's pray. God in heaven, your word is so good, so powerful, and so helpful. And it is subversive. It is counter. Some would say your kingdom is upside down, but we know this world is upside down. Your kingdom is right side up. And so God, we want to be kingdom people. We want to welcome the kingdom. We want to understand. God, we can only do that through the good news, the person of Jesus, the entrance into the kingdom. So God, I pray if there's one here who needs to believe that they would do that. God, take lesser kingdoms from us of our stuff, of our relationships, of anything that's less than the kingdom of heaven. May it have all of our priorities in every earthly reality, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.